بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد We continue reading in the chapter the author he had mentioned رحمه الله تعالى باب القراءة في الصلاة The chapter with regards to the recitation during the prayer meaning the recitation of the Quran the ruling and the clarification of that which is obligatory to recite and likewise that which is recommended In our previous class we had read the first narration The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, clarifying the ruling with regards to the recitation of al-Fatiha specifically. We have seen the rulings with regards to that related to the al-Imam and likewise al-Ma'mum and also al-Munfarid. So we continue reading. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, عن أبي قتادة الأنصاري رضي الله عنه أنه قال كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في الركعتين الأوليين من صلاة الظهر بفاتحة الكتاب والسورتين يطول في الأولى ويقصر في الثانية يسمع الآية أحيانا وكان يقرأ في العصر بفاتحة الكتاب والسورتين يطول في الأولى ويقصر في الثانية وكان يطول في الركعة الأولى من صلاة الصبح ويقصر في الثانية وفي الركعتين الأخريين بأم الكتاب So the author he mentioned رحمه الله تعالى the narration of Abi Qatada al-Ansari radiyallahu anhu and his name is Al-Harith ibn Rib'i and he is known by his kunya Abu Qatada Al-Ansari Al-Khazraji meaning that he's from the tribe of Al-Khazraj radiyallahu anhu he was known for his bravery and also he was known for his skills and proficiency in battle and specifically on horseback And he was known, radiyallahu anhu, as Faris Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Faris Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Faris, he's the one who fights on horseback. And he is the one who is skilled in this field and he's proficient with weapons on animals and the likes like this and riding in battle. And he was very brave and he was known for this, radiyallahu anhu. And it's been mentioned that He was traveling with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in some of his travels and some of his excursions. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he became sleepy. And he is riding and he fell asleep sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He started nodding off. At this time, Abu Qatada radiyallahu anhu, he noticed this affair and he pushed up with his animal onto the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and caught him. The Prophet was leaning on him. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for some time and he's riding in that manner with his animal next to his animal supporting the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he's asleep and then the messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam he awoke and he's seen that Abu Qatada he was there supporting him and riding along with him and protecting him in this manner and he supplicated for him and he said حفظك الله بما حفظت نبيه may Allah protect you in the same manner that you protected his prophet This narration is found in Sahih Muslim. Abu Qatada radiallahu anhu, he witnessed the battle of Uhud and the battle of Al-Khandaq and all of the battles after that with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he was from the virtuous and the noble companions of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And likewise, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Abu Bakr and Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, he was from those who was alongside with Ali, radiyallahu anhu, in all of his excursions and all of his events, and he aided him and supported him, and he witnessed all of the affairs that occurred with Ali, and he supported him, radiallahu anhuma wa an as-sahabati ajma'in. It's been mentioned about him that he died in Medina. Others mention he died in Al-Kufa, and Allah knows best, but he died in the year 54 after the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is Abu Qatada, the narrator of this hadith. He says, radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to read in the first two raka'ah of Salat al-Dhuhr, the Fatiha, Fatihat al-Kitab, and also two other chapters. Then he mentioned, radiallahu anhu, yutawwilu fil ula, wa yuqassiru fil thaniya, that he would lengthen the first raka'ah, the recitation of the first raka'ah, and he would shorten the second one. Yusmiru al-ayata ahyanan, and sometimes he would let us hear a verse that he's reciting in the dhuhr and the asr, that he would recite the Fatiha and another surah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the first two rak'ah, and he would make the first rak'ah longer than the second rak'ah, yani in the recitation and this understanding. And he would sometimes let them hear a verse that he is reciting, a verse here and there. Sometimes he would do this sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ فِي الْعَصْرِ بِفَاتِحَةِ الْكِتَابِ وَسُورَتَيْنِ يُطَوِّلُ فِي الْأُولَى وَيُقَصِرُ فِي الثَّانِيَةِ. In the same manner, likewise, he would recite the Fatiha in another chapter in the prayer of Asr also. And he would make the first rak'ah longer than the second rak'ah. He would make the first rak'ah long, and he would make the second rak'ah shorter, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, likewise, radiallahu anhu, وَكَانَ يُطَوِّلُ فِي الرَّكْعَةِ الْأُولَى مِنْ صَلَاةِ الصُّبْحِ. And he used to make the first rak'ah of the morning prayer longer. وَيُقَصِّرُ فِي الثَّانِيَةِ. And he would make the second rak'ah shorter. And then he said, وَفِي الرَّكْعَتَيْنِ الْأُخْرَيَيْنِ بِأُمِّ الْكِتَابِ. And also in the second two rak'ah of Asr as well, he would recite the Fatiha, bi Umar Kitab. So this is the clarification of the recitation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Salat al-Dhuhr and in Salat al-Asr, in Salat al-Dhuhr and Salat al-Asr. So from his methodology sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that he would recite the Fatiha in every rak'ah. And in the first two rak'ah of Dhuhr and Asr, both of them, he would recite along with the Fatiha another surah. And also from his methodology sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is that the first rak'ah, he would make it longer than the second rak'ah. This is in Dhuhr and in Asr. And also here he mentions as well in As-Subh. So from the benefits of this narration, we see that reciting the Fatiha, as has preceded, is a pillar. But we understand from this that it's a pillar in every rak'ah. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that it would suffice to recite it one time in one rak'ah. But this is not correct. And what is correct, and what is from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that reciting the Fatiha is a pillar of every rak'ah. So it must be recited in the manners that have preceded in every rak'ah. And also from the proof of that is the hadith of Al-Musi Salatahu. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he clarified how to pray one rak'ah. And he mentioned in the beginning, فَلْيَقْرَ بِأُمُّ الْكِتَابِ. Then he read the Fatiha, and then that which is easy for you. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified how to perform the rest of the rak'ah. And then he said, فَفَذَلِكَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ كُلِّهَا. And do this in all of your prayer. So the major point that we want to benefit from this narration is that it's obligatory to recite the Fatiha in every rak'ah. Not just one rak'ah. Also we see that it is recommended to recite along with the Fatiha another surah. It's recommended. It's not an obligation. It's recommended to recite along with the Fatiha another surah in the first two rak'ah of Dhuhr and Asr. And also it's from the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and recommended, but not obligatory. It's recommended, these are affairs that are recommended, to make their first rak'ah longer. To make their first rak'ah longer. And it's mentioned, the wisdom behind that is in order for the people to gather and to wait some time for the people to come and to gather. And also because a person, whenever he first enters the prayer, and whenever the believers, they first enter the prayer, they have more energy and they have more attention and the likes like that. But as the prayer goes on, maybe they will weaken and the likes like that. So their first rak'ah, they enter with energy and they're energetic and they're ready for the worship. And likewise, another wisdom is in order to wait for the people to gather and for the people to catch up. And it's been mentioned about Umar radiallahu anhu that he used to pray in the subah, in the morning prayer, كَانَ يَقْرَأُ بِيُوسُفُ وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ بِيُوسُفُ وَبِالنَّحْلِ. And he would recite the surahs like Yusuf and Nahl. And he used to make the first rak'ah very long. And it's mentioned, this, the narrators, they said, لِيَجْتَمِيَ النَّاسِ, so that the people could gather. So this is the wisdom from lengthening the first rak'ah in these prayers here. It's mentioned directly here in Dhuhr and in Asr, and likewise in Al-Fajr. These are some of the benefits and the wisdom with regards to this narration. Likewise, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he would let them hear a verse. And this is also to clarify, because he is the teacher sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the one who is clarifying the revelation and the legislation. And he would let them hear that he's reciting, so they know that he's reciting, because it's silent. Also, we benefit from this narration that Dhuhr and Asr, they're silent. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he would sometimes let them hear what he's reciting, so they know that he's reciting, number one. And also so they know what he's reciting. So they have an idea of the length and the types of chapters to be recited in this type of prayer. Yani how long it should be. They would hear his recitation and they would know what he's reciting. And from there they were able to determine any the length of these prayers and the chapters that should be recited in the likes of these prayers. And in this manner, this is with regards to the imam, clearly, because this is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the one who is praying here, and he's leading the people in prayer. But it has been also narrated by Ali radiallahu anhu, a similar narration like this, but he's clarifying the issue of the ma'mum. And this narration has been collected by al-Imam al-Bukhari in his book Al-Qira'atu Khalfa Al-Imam, Al-Qira'atu Khalfa Al-Imam. He has many books, rahimahullah, and from them, reciting behind the imam. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah, he mentioned this narration likewise, and he's using it as an evidence, which indicates that he finds it to be authentic. Yani that yani kana yahtaju bihadihi riwayah, that he would use it as a proof. So the narration, it says that Ali, he said, radiallahu anhu, إِذَا لَمْ يَجْهَرْ Al-Imam في الصلوات فقرأ بأم الكتاب. If the imam, he did not recite audibly in the prayers, then you should recite the Fatiha. وسورة أخرى في الأوليين من الظهر والعصر. And another chapter also in the first two rak'ah of Dhuhr and Asr. وفاتحة الكتاب في الأخرين. And the Fatiha alone by itself in the last two. And the last two rak'ah of Dhuhr and Asr. And so he's clarifying here that likewise the ma'mum, if the imam is not reciting, and he made the example here of Dhuhr and Asr, that the one who is praying behind the imam, he will recite the Fatiha and another surah in the first two rak'ah. And he will recite the Fatiha only in the last two rak'ah of Dhuhr and Asr. And he says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْمَغْرِبِ وَفِي الْأُخْرَيَيْنِ مِنَ الْعِشَاءِ. And likewise in the last rak'ah of Maghrib, and also in the two last rak'ah of Al-Isha. Yani he would, the one praying behind the imam, he would recite the Fatiha, yani meaning to himself. So clarifying the issue of the one who is praying behind the imam, that if it's in Dhuhr and Asr, he will recite the Fatiha and another surah and the first two rak'ah. And he will recite a Fatiha alone in the last two rak'ah. And also if he's praying Maghrib, then he will recite the Fatiha in the last rak'ah. And if he's praying Isha, he will recite the Fatiha in the last two rak'ah. And he didn't mention as-subh. And he didn't mention the first rak'ah, because in the very beginning he said إِذَا لَمْ يَجْهَرْ الْإِمَامِ, if the imam did not recite audibly. So the other rak'ahs that he didn't mention, those are the times when the imam is reciting audibly. So he's of the position that we had mentioned previously, that the ma'mum will not recite at that time. He will not recite at that time. So this is some of the benefits from this narration. And also from these benefits, كَانَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَمْ يَقْرَأُ. كَانَ يَقْرَأُ. We see here we have كَانَ. And خَبْر كَانَ جُمْلَةٌ فِعْلِيَّةٌ فِعْلُهَا مُضَارِعٌ وَهَذِهِ الصِّيغَةُ تُفِيدُ الْإِسْتِمْرَارِ. This is something that indicates that he did that all the time, صلى الله عليه وسلم. Because we have كَانَ, and the predicate is a verb that is in the present tense. And this indicates that this is something that he did all the time, or he would do constantly or consistently, unless there's evidence that comes to indicate other than that. And this is also with regards to كَانَ, whenever the خَبْر is فِعْلٌ مُضَارِعٌ. فِعْلٌ كَانَ يَقْرَأُ. He used to recite. He used to recite in these prayers, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This indicates that he did this all the time. This indicates that he did this all the time. There are other instances whenever this is indicated that it's not intended any all the time. Like in the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha that has come, she says, كنت أطيب رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم لإحرامه هنا يحرمه ولحله قبل أن يطوف بالبيت. It's in Bukhari and Muslim. She said, radiallahu anha, that I used to perfume, and he put the perfume on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam whenever he made his ihram. Whenever he made his ihram, meaning for hajj. And also whenever he got out of his ihram, before he would make the tawaf around the Kaaba. So this only happened one time. This occurred one time. And she said, kuntu utayyibu. So we hear that, we have that issue. Yani kana, and the khabr is fil mudari. But here the instance is clarifying that this only occurred one time. But generally the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is the case. Either kana, khabru kana. جملة فعلية فعلها مضارع فإن هذه الصيغة تفيد الاستمرار. To feel that it happens constantly like this. So this is from the benefits of this narration. Shaykhuna Shaykh Abdul Muhsin, he would always mention the likes of these benefits, حفظه الله تعالى, whenever they would come in the narrations. After this, the author, he mentioned the next narration. He says, عن جبير بن مطعم رضي الله عنه أنه قال سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقرأ في المغرب بالطور. يقرأ في المغرب بالطور. The author, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, the hadith of Jubair ibn Mut'im, radiyallahu anhu. And he is from the notable and the most noble of Quraysh. And he was from the people of Quraysh that had high status and rank. And likewise, his father, he had as well high status and rank. And his father, he died as a mushrik. His name is Mut'im ibn Adi. Mut'im ibn Adi. But Jubair radiallahu anhu, he came to Al-Madina after the Battle of Badr. He came to Medina after the Battle of Badr, because in the Battle of Badr, the believers, they had victory. And they had killed 70 of the mushrikeen in that battle, and taken 70 of them captive. So the Quraysh of Mecca, they were hoping to work a deal, yani to bargain with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam to get some of their people back that had been held captive. So they sent Jubair radiallahu anhu, and he came to Al-Madinah as a disbeliever. And he's a disbeliever, he's a mushrik at this time. He's coming representing his people in order to try to make a deal with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and a bargain to get some of the captives back. And Allah knows best. Some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned the reason because of this is possibly Jubair, he heard about one of the narrations of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, And the messenger, he said about those captives, he said, لَوْ كَانَ الْمُطْعِمُ إِبْنُ عَدِي حَيًّا ثُمَّ كَلَّمَنِي فِي هَؤُلَاءِ النَّتْنَا ثُمَّ كَلَّمَنِي فِي هَؤُلَاءِ النَّتْنَا لَتَرَكْتُهُمْ لَهُ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if al-Mut'im ibn Adi, and the father of Jubair, if he was alive today, he died as a mushrik. He died upon shirk, waliyadu billah. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, if he was alive today, and he came to me, and he spoke to me about these al-Natna, yani from al-Natana, al-Shay al-Natin, or al-Natin is something that is a foul odor. And so he's talking about those captives. If he was to come to speak to me about these filthy ones, and those filthy captives, and then I would leave them for him. And I would let them have them. Then I would let him have them. And he would let them go for free. Not for any bargain, but rather for free. And this is because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was known for honesty. And he was known for trustworthiness. And likewise, he was known to repay the good. Those who did good to him sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not forget that. And he did not neglect that. And this is from the beautiful traits of a believer, that he will remember the good that people have done for him. That he will remember the good that the people have done for him. And whenever the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he came back from Ta'if, and he had a difficult time, as we know, in Ta'if, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Mut'im ibn Adi, he took him to the side when he came into Mecca, and he protected him. And it's been mentioned that likewise he had some of his children take their weapons, some of his sons take weapons, yani in order to protect the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And the messenger, yani he left Mecca, and he went to Ta'if to call them, and they refused him and they harmed him. Yani they harmed him and the likes. And whenever he came back, he found this man, and this man took him and helped him and protected him until he entered Mecca safely, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Even some of the narrations, Allah knows best about their authenticity, and in the books of Sirah, that his sons took up weapons and they stood around the corners of the Kaaba for him to make tawaf, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In any case, it's established that he protected him, ajarahu, and he gave him jiwar, and he took him under his protection, and the likes like this. And also it's been mentioned that he was from those Quraysh, those people of Quraysh who invalidated the contract and the sahifa that they had made against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and all of his tribesmen, those who believed and those who did not believe. And they boycotted them and they exiled them from outside of Mecca, and they would not feed them, and they would not sell them food, and they would not bring them a drink, and they would not marry them. And they had a very difficult time. The believers had a very difficult time, and they wrote a contract and a pact that Quraysh, they all agreed that they're not going to cooperate with anybody who supported Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they boycotted all of his tribe until they were in great hunger and starvation, and they had much difficulty. And Mut'im ibn Adi, he was one of those individuals who went to Quraysh and was like, look, this is wrong. We're going to stand up. And they went and they tore up the contract that they had written and put in the Kaaba. And whenever they went there, they found that there were some insects that had eaten this parchment and this piece of paper that they had written the contract on, and there was nothing left there except for the name of Allah. But in any case, yani Mut'im ibn Adi, the father of Jubair, he was one of those who felt bad and felt sorry and had pity on the Muslims, and he invalidated that contract, him and a number of others. And they defended yani the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner, even upon disbelief. And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned any narrations about this affair. Yani inna Allah la yu'ayidu hadha ad-din bil rajul al-fajir. That verily Allah, he will help this deen, support this religion with a wicked man, even with an evil man. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who is in charge. So wallahu alam, Jubair, he heard about this affair. Jubair, he heard about this affair, so he's the one who came. He is the one who came to get some of these captives back and try to seek their release and to make a plea with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And whenever he's there, he said he happened to come, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's leading them in the Maghrib prayer. This is in the second year after the Badr of Badr. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he's leading him in the Maghrib prayer. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ بِالطُّورِ. That's what we have here. And the author, he's only mentioning the point of reference here. But it's very beneficial to have knowledge of these narrations and the events and the reasons why they occurred and the likes like that, and to understand the biography of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to truly see his sunnah and his way and methodology. So he's reciting at Tur in Maghrib, and he said, حَتَّى بَلَغَ أَخُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ. Are they created from nothing, or are they themselves the creator? He said at this time, Jubair radiallahu anhu, كَادَ قَلْبِ أَنْ يَطِيرُ. He said, at this time, my heart is about to fly out of my chest. And he came and he heard, he's seen the believers in ranks praying. And the Prophet is leading sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the prayer, and he's reciting At-Tur. And it's known that the surah is very powerful and strong, with reminders of the hereafter. أَمْ خُلِقُوا مِنْ غَيْرِ شَيْءٍ أَمْ هُمُ الْخَالِقُونَ أَمْ خَلَقُوا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ بَلْ لَا يُوقِنُونَ. يعني this is a major affair. He said that هَذَا أَوَّلْ مَرَّةً وقع الإيمان في قلبي أول مرة وقع الإيمان أو وقر الإيمان في قلبي. He said, this is the first time faith entered my heart. This is the first time faith entered my heart. It's mentioned about Jubair رضي الله عنه that he did not accept Islam until, some have mentioned on the Fath Mecca, which year was that? The eighth year. It's mentioned that he accepted in Fath Mecca. Others mentioned just before Fath. Yani whether it was in Fath, actually at the time of the conquest of Mecca, or just before, it was definitely later. Yani approximately in the eighth year. So how many years passed by? About 6 years have passed by. Six full years. He said that was the first time Iman entered into my heart. Yani so this is a great benefit. Yani that Iman entered his heart and he's seen the truth. But it took him some time to realize the guidance and to submit and to accept Islam. So sometimes maybe a person, he will call somebody and he will invite them and he will mention to them some affairs of the deen, and maybe they'll turn away. Or maybe it will seem like, oh, this person, he doesn't want to accept Islam. Or maybe somebody would think like that, or he doesn't call back. Or even he is an opponent and the likes like this. But a believer, he doesn't know. A believer, he doesn't know the reality. Just recently, alhamdulillah, there was a sister in this community, in this town, she accepted Islam. And it's been mentioned to me that some of the sisters, they spoke to her over 6 years ago, almost just like our story. But she accepted Islam a few days ago, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. So a believer, he will give the call, and he will clarify the truth that he knows, and he will hope good for the people. And if they accept, alhamdulillah. And if they don't accept the believer, he will likewise not have despair. And he would never try to say something about the affairs of the unseen. So-and-so will never accept Islam. So-and-so will never go to Jannah like this. He doesn't know. Maybe later they will accept Islam. Like Jubair here. 6 years later, he accepted Islam and he became from the great noble companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's mentioned that he was very well versed, and he had great knowledge of the lineage of the Arabs, and that he learned the ansab from Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So this is our narrator, and this is the one who was narrating this narration, that he heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reciting in the Maghrib prayer, Bittur, with Salat, and in Salat al-Maghrib, he's reciting At-Tur, the chapter At-Tur. So in this narration, we see from the benefits of this is that it is from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Maghrib to recite out loud. And this is in the first two rak'ah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would recite audibly. And we see Jubair, he's mentioning this, that he heard radiallahu anhu. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned that this is something that's agreed upon. Yani that this position is agreed upon, and this is something likewise that is agreed upon the application of, that all of the scholars, they have affirmed this, that the Maghrib is a prayer that is audible in the first two and the first two rak'ah. Also from this narration, we see that it's permissible to recite from these long surahs in Salat al-Maghrib. It's permissible to recite from the longer surah in Salat al-Maghrib. But looking into the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will see that normally in Maghrib, he would recite from the shorter chapters. He would recite from the shorter chapters. Here, whenever we say from the longer or the shorter, what is intended is from the portion of the Quran that is known as Al-Mufassal. Al-Mufassal, it means the one that's divided. لَهُ فُصُولٌ كَثِيرًا مُفَصَّلٌ. This is because there's the there are many chapters and they're divided between them with the basmala. You will find there are many chapters in this portion of the Quran, in this last portion of the Quran, you will find that there are many chapters that are divided by the basmala. Yani they're divided by the basmala. So this portion of the Quran is called al-mufassal to the people of knowledge. Al-mufassal. And the ulama, they differed about where it begins. Yani in different positions. Some of them mentioned even in the chapters of Hamim. But Allah knows best, it's either from Al-Qaf to An-Nas, or before that from Al-Hujurat to An-Nas. Many of the people of knowledge, they mention is from Qaf to An-Nas. But there is narrations, and he affirms that it's from Hujurat. So Allah knows best, either from Hujurat or from Qaf, they're basically in the same spot. They're both together. Al-Hujurat is chapter 49, and Al-Qaf is chapter 50. So from this point here to the end, either Al-Hujurat or Surat Qaf, this is called all the way to An-Nas, this is called Al-Mufassal. This is called Al-Mufassal, min al-Qur'an, Al-Mufassal. Then also from the Mufassal, it's divided into three parts. They have Tiwal, Al-Mufassal, and then Awsat, Al-Mufassal, and then Qisar, Al-Mufassal. Tiwal, many of the long ones. The long ones from this portion. And then awsat, yani the middle ones, not too long, not too short, from the same portion. And then the qisar, the short chapters from this portion. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they differed about any this affair here. But many of them have mentioned what I will mention, and we will just go with one position to make it easy, alhamdulillah. And they have mentioned that from Qaf to Amma. From Qaf to Surah An-Naba. This is At-Tiwal, the long ones. And then from Amma to Al-Duha. This is the short ones, at Awsat. The short ones, from here to here. From here to here. And then from Al-Duha to An-Nas. These are, did I say the short ones? The middle ones. Say it again. From the, from Amma Yatasa'alun. Amma Yatasa'alun to Al-Duha. This one is the middle ones. The middle ones. جزاكم الله خيرا. ذكروني ها. بارك الله فيكم نتعاون على هذا الشيء. جزاكم الله خيرا. نعم, the middle ones. They're what we say, the long ones, the middle one, the short one, meaning in length. In length. From Amma يتساءلون. From? Huh? What did I say? From Qaf to Amma. This is Tiwal. These are the long ones. From Amma to Duha, these are the middle ones. From Duha to Nas, these are the short ones. You got it right? Jazakumullah khaira. Jazakumullah khaira. So the benefit from this is that the people of knowledge, they mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in the obligatory prayers, he would recite from here. He would recite from here. And certain prayers from this portion, from other prayers from that portion. But this is not something that he did always. And most of the time he would recite as in this manner, but sometimes he would recite other than that. And what has been mentioned from the hadith of Rafi ibn Khadij, he said that كُنَّا نُصَلِّي الْمَغْرِبِ مَعَ النَّبِي صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ نَنْصَرِفُ وَإِنَّ أَحَدَنَا لَيَرَى مَوَاقِعَ نَبَلِهِ. That he said, we used to pray the Maghrib prayer with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then we would leave. And one of us would be able to see where his arrow land. And they would pray the Maghrib with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and then they would go shoot arrows, target practice. And they would be able to see the distance of their arrow and where it lands. So this is an indication of two affairs. One of them has preceded. And that is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he prayed Maghrib at his earliest time. This has preceded in the bab and the chapter of the Awqat al-Salat. Al-Mawaqit. Al-Mawaqit al-Salat. And the second one is with regards to this issue, and that is that also not only did he pray it at the beginning, but also an indication that he prayed a shorter portion. He prayed a shorter portion at this time. And in order for them to finish the prayer and then to go to their areas and the likes, and then target practice and still be able to see their arrows land in the distance. And still be able to see their arrows land in the distance. So the sunnah with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which he did normally in Salat al-Maghrib, is that he would recite from al-Qisar. Qisar al-Mufassal. Where is that from? Al-Duha to Nas. Al-Duha to Nas. But not always. And other times, like here, he recited al-Tur. sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And likewise, right before he died, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, one of the last times he prayed the Maghrib prayer with his companions, he recited the Mursalat. He recited the Mursalat, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Also, has been mentioned that in Maghrib also, qara'a athwal atulayain, yani the longest of the two long ones, referring to Surah Al-An'am wa Al-A'raf. Which one is longer? Al-A'raf. Yani he recited Al-A'raf. It mentioned in two rak'ah that he recited this in the Maghrib prayer, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So this is something that's allowed, and this is something that's permissible. And the sunnah with regards to this is, like, for example, here, the tur, it's not something that somebody would do all the time, but rather to recite from the shorter portions is something that one would do normally. But sometimes he will recite from the longer portions like this. But the majority of time it would be in this manner. And this is any to achieve the sunnah in the best way. And Allah knows best. With regards to this, there's a narration that's in Sunan an-Nasa'i. And it comes from Sulaiman ibn Yasar. And he's from the Tabi'een. He died in the year 94. And Qatada ibn Di'am al-Sudusi, remember him. Qatada, he died in the year 117 from the Tabi'een. Likewise, he's from the students of Anas. He said, Qadimtu al-Madinata fa sa'altu an a'lami ahliha bil itlaq. He said, I came to Medina and I asked about who is the most knowledgeable, the absolutely most knowledgeable person in Medina. فَقِيلَ لِي Sulaiman ibn Yasar. He said it was this man here, Sulaiman ibn Yasar, radiallahu anhu. He's also known as one of the fuqaha al-saba'ah, the seven fuqaha and great scholars of the Tabi'een who are in Medina. There's seven of them. Sulaiman ibn Yasar. He mentioned that he heard Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu saying, ما صليت وراء أحد أشبه الصلاة برسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم من فلان. And he heard Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu saying that I've never prayed behind anybody who his prayer resembled more to his prayer was more resembling the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam than so and so. So Sulaiman, he said about that so-and-so, about that person, كان يطير الركعتين الأوليين من الظهر ويخفف الأخريين. That person that Abu Hurairah is referring to, radiallahu anhu, he used to lengthen the two rak'ah, the first two rak'ah of dhuhr, and he would lighten the last two. وخفف العصر, and he used to lighten the asr prayer. ويقرأ في المغرب بقصار المفصل, and he used to recite in the Maghrib from the short portions of the Mufassal. This individual here. And then he says, وَيَقْرَأُ فِي الْعِشَاءِ بِوَسَطِ الْمُفَصَّلِ, and that this individual, this person here, used to recite in Al-Isha from the middle portion of Al-Mufassal. وَيَقْرَأُ فِي الصُّبْحِ بِطُوَلِ الْمُفَصَّلِ, and he would recite in the Fajr prayer the longer portions of Al-Mufassal. So here we have this man, he's from the Fuqaha al-Saba' of Al-Madina. Sulaiman ibn Yasar, he died in 94, from the students of the companions, radiallahu anhum. He's mentioning this affair. And Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum, he's seen this person praying. This same narration or similar wording like this, or similar instance, has come from Anas likewise, radiallahu anhum. It's mentioned that person, he's Umar ibn Abdulaziz, and Allah knows best about the authenticity of that. In any case, it's affirmed that Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhum, he's seen this person praying, and he praised his prayer. And he mentioned that this person's prayer was exactly like or resembled the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in a great degree. And he never seen anybody's prayer resemble the prayer of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam like this person here. So Sulaiman, he examined that person's prayer with regards to the recitation. And he mentioned here again that he would make the two rak'ah in dhuhr longer. And he would make the second two light. And he would lighten the asr prayer. Here it's saying altogether. And as for the maghrib prayer, this is the benefit. He would recite from Qisar al-Mufassal. What is that from? From al-Duha to an-Nas. From al-Duha to an-Nas. This is the point here. And وَيَقْرَأُ فِي الْعِشَاءِ بِوَسَطِ al-Mufassal. And he would recite in Isha from the middle portion of al-Mufassal. Where is that from? An-Naba to al-Duha. An-Naba to al-Duha. Nam, and also وَيَقْرَأُ فِي السُّبْحِ بِطُوَلِ الْمُفَصَّلِ, and in the morning prayer he would recite with the longer portions of al-mufassal. Where does that begin? From qaf to عَمَّا يَتَسَفَّأُ النَّبَأُ, or from حُجَرَات, in that area, in that area. So this is يعني roughly يعني the manner of the recitation of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم in the Sunnah for the Imam to follow the majority of the time. But the benefit from this narration here is to see that that's not something that's done always, but rather sometimes it would be different. And also it has come in the Fajr prayer, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he recited Zalzala two times, yani in the first and in the second rak'ah. And he recited other shorter portions, yani in the Fajr prayer. Normally he would recite from the Tiwan, but sometimes he would recite something different. And likewise in Maghrib, normally he would recite sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from the Qisar, but sometimes he recited from the Tiwan. Like this. So the Sunnah here is to follow that. Yani the majority of the time in this manner, and every now and then to change it. And every now and then to change it. And this also goes back to that which is easy for the Imam. And in the origin with regards to reciting the Quran in the Salat, whether it's obligatory or non-obligatory, is the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ فَقَرَأُوا مَا تَيَسَّرَ مِنْ, recite that which is easy for you. And likewise in Hadith Musi' al-Salat, what did he say? Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ثُمْ اقْرَأْ مَا تَيَسَّرَ مَعْكَ مِنْ الْقُرْآنِ, and then recite that which is easy for you from the Qur'an. That which is easy for you from the Qur'an, meaning after the Fatiha. The Fatiha, that's established. What we're talking about now is not the Fatiha, but the other recitation. The other recitation. So this is the Mufassal that we mentioned. Some of the people have not as mentioned that the Mufassal, as I said, was from Al-Hujurat. Al-Hujurat to Buruj, and from Buruj to Al-Bayna, and from Al-Bayna to Nas. A little bit different understanding. So as long as a believer, he came in this area like this, then this is something that is good. One thing that the scholars, they find fault with is whenever someone, any of the Imam, he will recite part of a surah and not the whole thing, all of the time. One of the affairs the people of knowledge, they find fault with, yani they dislike it, is whenever an Imam, he will choose to recite always, yani consistently, a portion of the Quran, instead of reciting a whole surah. For example, he'll recite the last verse of this, or the first verse of that, or just the middle portion of the Quran. And to do this always. Whenever he leads the prayer, he will always recite a portion from here and a portion from there, and he will never recite the whole surah. And the people of knowledge, they mentioned this is contrary to the sunnah. And the sunnah is that normally the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he will recite a whole surah in one rak'ah. And sometimes he would split it in two. And sometimes even sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he would recite two surah and one rak'ah. Two surah and one rak'ah. He would gather between surahs that are similar, like Tur and Haqqa, recite them together in one rak'ah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It also has come in the sunnah that sometimes he would recite a portion, especially like in Fajr, the sunnah of Fajr, that he would recite a portion from Baqarah, one verse, and another verse from Ali Imran, like this. So it's established, and it's allowed. It's allowed to do that. But some of the people of knowledge, they found it to be disliked to do that in the obligatory prayer all the time, and tell the people they think that this is the way. But rather to do that sometimes is allowed, and there's no blame in that. But the majority of the time is better to recite a whole surah. And this is how the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he used to do. He would normally recite a whole surah, or recite either in one rak'ah, or he would split it in two rak'ah. So that's the sunnah with regards to this affair. There's another benefit in this narration the scholars of hadith have clarified, and that is the issue of at-tahammul wal-ada. At-tahammul wal-ada. At-tahammul is whenever a student of knowledge, he would take hadith from his sheikh, from his teacher. And they call it at-tahammul, and he's carrying that responsibility and bearing that responsibility. And meaning that he is learning and taking narrations with the chain from a scholar. And whenever he will transmit that narration, that's called al-ada. He's performing that obligation. He's performing and delivering that responsibility. And so it's called a tahammul wal-ada. So in order for somebody's narration to be accepted, there's very stern and strong conditions. And from them that the person who is narrating, he has to have adala. He has to be trustworthy and reliable. So if a disbeliever came to narrate yani something about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that will never be accepted. That would never be accepted from him. If he narrated something from the affairs of the deen, and he does not have any adala. So here we have the issue though that Jubair, he heard this narration while he is a disbeliever. He heard this narration while he's a disbeliever, but he transmitted it while he was a believer. He transmitted it while he's a believer. So we have here the issue, and the scholars of hadith have mentioned with regards to the narrators of hadith, that it's correct and it's considered authentic for someone to hear a narration from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam or from the companions while he's a disbeliever. While he's a disbeliever, to hear an event that occurred and then to narrate that after having accepted Islam. If this is the case, then his narrations are accepted. And from those from the evidence for this is this narration here. And also the narration of Abu Sufyan when he went to Haraqil, and he mentioned narrations that occurred whenever he was there in the Rum and the likes like this. This is whenever he was a disbeliever, but later he accepted Islam. And then he narrated these events that occur in the time of disbelief. So these narrations are accepted. Also similar like that is that a person, he must also be of age. If a child came who was underage and narrated a hadith, it would not be accepted from him. If he was 5 years old and he narrated that he heard the Prophet say this, it would not be accepted because he doesn't have tamiz, he doesn't have the aql. And this is also a requirement for him to be upright and just and for his narrations to be accepted. But if a person, he were to hear something whenever he's a child and narrate that whenever he's grown up, it would be accepted from him. And the example of this is many, but from them, the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir. And it's the hadith that's very famous, إِنَّ الْحَلَالَ بَيِّنْ وَإِنَّ الْحَرَامَ بَيِّنْ وَبَيْنُهُمَا أُمُورٌ مُشْتَبَهَاتٌ. And that verily the halal is clear, and verily the haram is clear. It's mentioned that in Nu'man ibn Bashir radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam died and he's 8 years old. He's only 8 years old. But whenever he grew up radiallahu anhu, he narrated this narration and he said, سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بأذني هاتين يقول. And he said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I heard with my two ears the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, and this narration is accepted. So again, the situation is similar. And that a child, if he were to hear a narration in childhood and then narrate that narration whenever he is an elder, then his narrations are accepted. And all of these affairs here, they show us the diligence of the scholars of hadith in verifying the statements of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and verifying the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that they have placed strict and stern principles and foundations in order to determine that which is authentic, that which is ascribed authentically to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which has not been ascribed to him authentic, that which is accepted from his narrations and from his sunnah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that which is rejected, that which is an obligation to believe that he said it and did it sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to follow him in that, and that which is not established in that manner. The people of knowledge, they have went to great efforts in order to clarify these affairs. May Allah reward them the best of rewards. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.